This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, as your church, your body. Lord, we thank you for the truth that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. We thank you for your presence this morning. And Lord, we ask for the promise and the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and glorified and our lives empowered to be the witnesses you've called us as believers to be of your great grace that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's anyone in our midst that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they realize that it is in you alone that they might receive the free gift and the free pardon of sin and be placed into your family. Lord, bless your word, bless your people, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply "An Unction from the Holy One." An unction from the Holy One. Now, this word comes from the Greek, which also means an anointing. We looked at that this morning in Sunday school. The Greek word is chrisma, which has to do with God setting aside a purpose for a specific individual. Specifically here this morning, for God's people, God has an unction for them. He has an anointing, and that is that God might work his purpose in your life and mine. Now, I want to call you just for a few moments here. Hold your place here in the book of 1 John, but go back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. An important truth here. This correlates with what we're looking at in our text. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, we want to look at that just for a moment here. And again, keep in mind this unction and this anointing that God is really revealing of his work in the lives of God's people. And this will make sense here. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God." And so this is God setting us apart. And by the way, listen, stop and think about this. You are sanctified. Now, it depends on where you're at in the sanctification process. We have to yield ourselves, but God has already in his mind, because you're saved, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you have been set aside for God. Now, whether or not we yield ourselves to the Lord, that's something completely different. The world doesn't understand that. See, God has given to you, even as a child of God, the freedom to choose you this day whom you will serve. Isn't that good? And God says, listen, if you will yield your members as an honor and a glory to God, I can do a work. I will live my life through you. Didn't Jesus say that, hey, listen, I want you to know that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me and that we are in you, right? Jesus is in us, Christ, Jesus, the hope of glory, who's in us. And so he has set us aside for his honor and glory. And so he says this again, verse 21, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." And so this is an important truth to put together and realize that regardless of what we understand about this truth, God's work is still taking place. Amen? And it's an available opportunity for the believer as we yield ourselves and as God gives us more light, we understand more about the work of God. Now again, I refer to Peter often because he is a perfect illustration of a man who I think loved the Lord, don't you? He wanted to serve the Lord. And if you remember,
He came to Peter after when he had fished all night, didn't catch anything, and he was washing and fixing up his nets for the next time he was going to go out. And the Lord, he was tired, amen? He had a full day's worth of work, and a full day's worth of work that produced nothing, right? Nothing to his benefit. And the Lord stepped into his boat, and then he said, listen, I want you to thrust out just a little ways. Isn't that good? Listen, God doesn't ask us to go way out into the deep right away. He says, listen, I just want you to just take a few steps by faith so that I can do some work. Amen? So he used Peter's boat. He went out a little ways, and the Lord preached to the multitudes that were there. And then after he was finished, he said to Peter, okay, we're going to go out a little bit deeper. Amen? And that's what the Lord's process and progress is in the life of the believer. He doesn't take us way out into the deep right away, but he is wanting us to move out into the deep waters of faith that we might trust the Lord and experience his grace that the world doesn't understand, so that we could be witnesses to them, to bring them also to the love of God and to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter goes all the way out there, and the Lord says, okay, I want you to let down your nets for a great haul, a draught of fishes, right? And he says, oh Lord, listen, he didn't say you don't understand, but in essence, that's what he said. He said, oh Lord, we fished all night. We haven't caught anything. And no doubt Peter said, this is not going to produce anything. I know where the fish are at, but he doesn't know who the creator of the fish is. Amen? And so all of a sudden he says, okay, I'm going to let down the net, one net. The Lord said, let down all your nets. I think Peter thought, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I don't want to do a lot of work again. I'm just going to clean up one net. Well, how does the Lord work? Well, he didn't just give Peter a few fishes. He filled up that net. How full? The net began to break. The boat was going under. He calls for help, right? Hey, listen, we need some help over here. And what happens when he gets to shore? He falls down at the Lord's feet on his knees and said, oh, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord, is what he tells him. And then the Lord tells him what? Hey, fear not, Peter. From henceforth, thou shalt be a fisher of men, right? You're going to catch men. And listen, that was all the grace of God. Did Peter deserve that? No, we none deserve that, but God freely bestows and gives of his grace, and that's what he wants to give into our lives. Now, Peter had a lot of other misunderstandings during the Lord's earthly ministry that he had to realize that, look, I might have the best of intentions, and I might have some really good ideas, but the problem with those is that they're not God's ideas. Amen? But listen, God does not need your help or my help to get his job done. Amen? In fact, before you and I were ever in existence, God had a plan. It would be a good idea for God's people to find out God's plan instead of trying to come up with their own plan that God has no interest in. Amen? It would have never entered into your heart or mine to offer up our firstborn, amen, for the redemption of people who are rebellious. That's something that only God comes up with, because he is love, he is mercy, and he's all the good things, really, that we enjoy here on this side of eternity. And he is the very essence of all those good things. And so he says, I want you to know something. I've anointed you as a believer with the Holy Spirit. Did we just not read that here in the book of 2 Corinthians? He's got a purpose, and it's Christ that establishes us. Or listen, when there's a, if you had a fruit tree and you planted it in one spot for a month, and then you said, you know what, I'm going to move it over here, and you did that every month, will that fruit tree ever bear fruit? Not the way it could, right? Not the way that it could, because we're uprooting it. It's not established. And so God wants you and me to be established in the faith or in trust, and by experiencing God's working in our lives. God has not given the believer this invisible, unknown faith, right? This faith that has no handle on it. Well, what kind of faith does he give us? Well, let me just tell you, when Peter went out there, Peter had, how much faith did he have in the Lord's word when the Lord said, all right, put your nets down for a great catch of fish? How much faith did Peter have? Not a lot. Not a lot, because he didn't let down all the nets. And then all of a sudden, listen, when he fell down at the Lord's feet, Where was his faith now? Was it better? Did he see something to strengthen his faith? Did God do a work in spite of his unbelief in his life to strengthen the faith of Peter? God is wanting to do the same thing in your life and mine. Now, how does he do that? The same way he did it for Peter. How is that? He goes against the way that we think, but we need to yield and say, Lord, this makes absolutely no sense. Did it make any sense to Peter? Not one bit. But you know what he did? He said, I'm going to let down a little bit. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, right? Lord, I believe, okay, Lord, I'm going to prove you on this. You know, it would be a good idea to realize that we need the blessing and the filling. Be ye filled with the Spirit of God. I know you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows it, but he says, listen, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I think God is asking his people to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Does anybody in here in this room have a clue as to why God is asking us to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That is the power source of the believer. Not our strength. That's God's strength that he wants us to experience in our own lives so that we can say, you know what? It works. But here's what happens. We roll up our sleeves and we're trying to get busy to do something for God. And we forget to call on him and say, Lord, I need you because without you, I can do what? Nothing. I've got to understand what it means to abide in you, Lord. What does that mean? Let me ask you this. Don't answer this out loud. When was the last time you asked the Lord, listen, Lord, I need to understand to a greater degree what it means to abide in you? Let me ask you this. Don't answer this out loud. How much work do you see God doing in your life? If you don't see, in other words, where is the long suffering? Not yours, God's. Where is the patience? Where is the turning of the other cheek? Where is the surrendering? Where is giving thanks in all things, even when things don't go and appear to go the way that you would like them to go? That's when we ought to give thanks. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God saying, I don't always understand everything, but I know that you're working them out for what? For my good. See, you know what we do when something doesn't go right? We try to fix it. We do, don't we? Instead of saying, Lord, I want to be submissive. And in fact, here, listen. Don't answer this one out loud. When things don't go right, how many of us get maybe frustrated, put out, and lose our joy? How do you know you've lost your joy? Well, you complain. And you bicker and you moan and you can't get past. And you can't even find your glasses that are on top of your head. Can't even find them. Because you can't see straight. Because we're all wrapped up in ourselves and we're not believing that God is working out everything. We're not experiencing the grace and power of God. We're not being faithful to the Lord. What does that mean? Trusting him in the little things so that he can work out the big things. Trusting him in all the little things that come into your life. Where's your joy then? When nobody else is looking, are you purposefully saying, Lord, today I want to rejoice? How often? Didn't Jesus say, doesn't the word of God say, rejoice how often? Isn't that amazing? Always. Well, is that taking place? If not, guess who's not working? We're not yielded and we're not allowing the Spirit of God to do work in our lives. Or are we just fair weather Christians when the wind is blowing in our way, right? Or do we let the world take the wind out of our sails? Listen, Jesus said to believers that he wanted to rejoice and to grow in the grace and the love of God. In the world, you're going to have what? Trials and tribulations. But that, listen, God will use that to mortify the flesh, to kill the flesh. Listen, the flesh is alive and will destroy the work that God wants to do. Listen, you cannot honor and glorify the Lord in the flesh, ever, ever. And listen, God has indwelt us with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of him working things in our lives that reveals the grace and power of God. And this is what the Lord wants in the church. Listen, it's all over the New Testament, because that's the truth that he wanted the disciples to understand. It's not you, it's me in you that's going to make the difference. Was it Peter that healed the lame man in Acts chapter 3? Or did he not say to the Israelites, "Why do you look on me as if by our own power we made this man whole? Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, he's the one that did it." Who's going to do it in our lives? Us or Jesus? It has to be. All right, go back to our text very quickly. 1 John chapter 2. God wants us to know, what is this unction or anointing that God reveals to the life of the believer? In this specific text, there are four things that God reveals when the believer has this unction or this anointing. And the first one is false sheep. God wants us to be aware that there are false sheep. How many of you know this? Listen, not everybody who calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. They're not. By the way, listen, secondly, the thing that God wants us to know with this unction or with this anointing is a belief in God's work of abiding, understanding what it means to abide in the Lord. Another thing that has helped out with this unction or this anointing is a belief in God's promise that he keeps us from being seduced, that we might not live a life of misery and failure. Question, let me ask you this. Did the Lord want Peter to be a failure in his faith? Question, does God want us to be a failure in the faith that he's given to us? And again, interchange that word faith with the word trust. Our faith is where? Jesus. Oh, it's not in the news? Is it in the bank? Where's our faith? Is it in our strength? Or is it in Christ? We won't have much faith, we won't have much trust as a child of God if we don't allow the Lord to work that in our lives. We have to submit ourselves to the Lord. Lord, I need you to show me what it means to be submissive to you, that I might not get angry at the things that my flesh will get angry over. I want you to know, I need the Lord Jesus Christ every day. And would you guess how much time of every day I need him? All the time, or I will fail him. All right? And I will think and I will react and I will respond in my strength, which is the flesh. God doesn't want any part of that. God wants to awe and wow us. Listen, Peter was doing things for the first time. I want you to know, on the inside, he was worshiping. Thank you, God. Did Peter know what it was to fail the Lord? And every time he failed the Lord, what he had to realize is he was looking to himself. Remember when he said, "Lord, all these are going to forsake you. I'm not going to." Do you know that even tells us in the book of Mark that when he said that, all the other disciples said they weren't going to fail the Lord either? How many of the disciples denied the Lord by running away? How many? All of them. All of you and I will do the same thing. We're not any different. God says, be careful to what you're looking at. Listen, in your everyday life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Christ, is not just a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night thing. It's not. It's an everyday, moment-by-moment thing, or you're playing games. You're going to miss out on the Lord. As a saved child of God, you're not going to have the power that God wants us to have in our lives. Okay, so let's look at false sheep. Back up with me to verse 18, 1 John 2:18. Notice this. Little children. This is an endearing term. Why little children? Because he's wanting to point to us. He realizes, listen, that we need to be taught. If we're not there, if we're not saying, "Lord, I need you to show me. I don't understand." If your life for the Lord Jesus Christ is not what it should be, then you have to have childlike faith and approach the Lord as a little child, trusting and believing him, and yet listening and looking for every bit of direction that he has given. So he says this, little children, it is the last time. Have you ever wondered what time, what age we are in? Well, the Bible just told us we're in the last days. We're in the last times. Now, I'm not saying, and God's not saying that we know the day and the hour that the Lord's going to come. But all we do need to know is it is the last time. So I think the Bible encourages us to awake if we're asleep. Listen, the Lord is knocking on the door of our heart. He has not given up. See, listen, if you're saved, you've been sanctified, and God is waiting for you to call on Him, and then He'll answer and show you some things. But listen, if we don't call on Him, is He going to answer?
No.
He says if you're going to get something, you have to ask. Why? Because that shows your dependence on the Lord, and it does away with pride. Pride says, I got this. God says, okay. Peter had it. Look at all that he did when he had it, until he realized, you know what? I need the Lord. Lord, I have blown it royally. I not only denied, I didn't listen. I wanted nothing to do at that moment. He wanted nothing to do. You know why? He was afraid for his own skin. That's all. The only thing Peter cared about at that moment, and he thought he loved the Lord. The only thing Peter cared about was Peter. And if we're not careful, we're fooling ourselves. Listen, did Peter love the Lord? Yes, he did. But all he cared about was Peter. Is it possible for a child of God who's been redeemed by the blood to care about nothing else but ourselves? We need to walk humbly and carefully and say, oh God, that I would not slip into that, fall into that, be misled into that, and trusting myself. So he says, I want you to know it's the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, listen to this, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the what? It's the last time. If you ever wondered what time it was, I want you to know, God wants us to know, it's the last time. And so we are at the end of the age. Now exactly, listen, is it possible that you will live your full lifespan? It's possible. But God wants us to know we ought to live like He can come back at any moment. Plan out your life. God wants us to occupy till He comes. Make plans. By the way, under the direction of the Lord. Lord, you want us to do this or to do that? That's a good way to do it. Notice this, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. He says, I want you to know, I am letting you know. I am letting you know. We want to encourage people in the Lord, but it amazes me. Listen, I used to go out door knocking. In the 90s, I used to go out door knocking. And I have nice conversations with people, Sullivan, Missouri, and they'd say, oh, listen, I served the Lord for 15 or 20 years, and then this happened, and then that happened, and I don't want anything to do with church. And they would tell me, inevitably, I don't know, some church member said or did something, some Sunday school teacher, some deacon, some preacher did something, and I would always walk away. They didn't die for me. Did Christ die for the church in Acts chapter 20? Yeah. He gave His blood for it. And does God think something special of the church, His body? Yes, that's where He's glorified. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, 21, He's wanting us to honor Him through the local New Testament church. And so it amazed me how many times I heard that. They used to do this, they used to do that in the church, and now they don't do it anymore. You know what the sad thing is? I have experienced people that I have known that have served the Lord personally for many years that today they're not crazy about the church. You know, something's wrong with that. Their love had grown cold, and maybe they were not of us. That's a scarier thought to me. That's a scarier thought. Is that possible for them to come in and brother this and sister that and Jesus this and love the Lord and then just quit? And just don't want any more to do with God. I don't care. I know it's possible, but that is a bad place to be. That's a dangerous place to be. in our relationship with the Lord. For sure, here's one thing, that does not honor and glorify the Lord. And then we start looking to the world, and then the crazy thing is we start talking like the world, and we start looking like the world, and we start acting like a world. Does the world glorify God or dishonor Him? It hates Him. Didn't Jesus say, the world hated me. If it hates me, guess what? Now, He says this in verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. That's the title of the message, an unction from the Holy One. You've been given one, and this unction will reveal to you that there are false sheep. Now, that doesn't mean that we know who they are. But don't get your hearts downcast if you see them leave. Possibly. You know, listen, I want you to know something. We don't write them off. Anytime they want to come back in, come on back. Anytime you want to walk with the Lord, anytime you want to seek God, His door's always open. Amen. So if His door's always open, certainly God's church doors are always open. So He says this, I want you to know there are false sheep. And then secondly, as we consider this, He says, I want you to know something here, that there's a work of God taking place in your life. Look at verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Right? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So He says, I want you to know something here. There is a tall tale sign of people who believe and know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says, I want you to understand this. There's a work that God does here in verse 24. Let that therefore, listen, what? Abide in you. Let this truth of the Father, of Christ in the Father, and the Son's in the Father, and we are in Him. Let that abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Did you see that? Listen, it's important. Listen, you're saved and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but it shows here that there is a continuing submission, presenting ourselves that God might perform His will and work in your life and mine. It doesn't happen automatically. Do you know that there is a crown laid up for you if you love God? That was the whole stipulation. If you love the Lord, there's a crown laid up for you. Do you think Peter got a crown? Yes. Absolutely. How about what? Did Peter fail? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, don't answer this one. Have you failed? Yeah, I have. Yes. I have failed. I'll answer for me. All right? I have failed. But wait a minute. We can still pick up from here. Is God finished with us? God is never finished with us. Will you always be in the hand of God? Yes. Your heart may not be there, but you will always be in the hand of God. Isn't that good? Yes. God says, come on home. Amen. If you've drifted, open the door and I will come in. Isn't that what the Lord said? God is not just giving us good words to tickle our ears. He's giving us good words that we might abide and walk in the truth. Amen. Not just to hear it, not to be a hearer only, but to say, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to do. This is where you want me. This is how you want me to call upon you. God says, call unto me, and He even tells us how to call unto Him. So listen, verse 24, He says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So here's the question. Are we continuing in the Father and in the Son? And if you cannot see the working of God that makes us righteous people, then it's time to say, Lord, I need your help. I need you. In fact, I need you to work through me. Notice this. God's anointing and God's unction also reveals a belief in God's promise that keeps us from being seduced. So listen, if you're being seduced, if you're being hoodwinked, if you're being misled into things that God says are sinful, there is a problem in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because He said that He will make you and me a royal priesthood. He said that He has made us the light and the salt of the earth. You cannot say, I'm a believer and I trust the Lord and we're going to go act like the world. Can't do that. What does the world do? Well, the world's caught up in all kinds of things that God says are not right. And I don't have to listen for you. If you're a saved child of God, you've got to know when things are not right. Even David did. A man after God's own heart knew. Verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Not tomorrow, that is true, we have that. But even now we have the life of Christ in us. Is that not eternal life? These things have I written unto you concerning them which seduce you. He says, I want you to know that you've got power to overcome seduction. But we have to believe in God's anointing. See, if you're saved, tell me if this is right or not. If you're saved, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Does that seal you? For how long?
Eternity.
For all eternity, forever. Absolutely. Verse 27. But the what? Anointing. I'm not making this up. I didn't even put that in there, just in case you wondered. God did. Amen? I wouldn't even have the smarts to do that. Not even close. But the anointing which ye have received of him. That's past tense, isn't it? Received. That means you got it. If you're saved, you've received the anointing.
Amen.
You've received the unction from the Holy One. You know what the unction is saying? Everything in the Word of God is true. And listen, everything that compromises the Word of God is a lie and a deception. What will you choose today? What will you choose? Are you going to choose the deception or are you going to choose the truth? Because listen, some people will compromise the Word of God because of how they feel. Or how about this one? After all, everybody. No, listen, everybody is not doing it. God still has a remnant. Small a trace as that might be, there are still a peculiar people. There are still a people that are seeking God. So, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth where? No matter how far you are, that anointing abides in you. That anointing is the Holy Spirit that has marked you. And you need not that any man teach you. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you this is right. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So this work has already been done, if you're a saved child of God.
Amen.
What we need to do is say, Lord, help me to believe. Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. To look to you. Ready? Verse 28. Notice what it says here. And now, little children, what is he saying? Abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have... Did you see that? Did you see what John did? John wants the same confidence. Amen? And he's the aged apostle. He is the apostle that has walked with Jesus during his earthly ministry. He is the apostle that has experienced the power of God. And he says, abide. Abide in him. And now, little children... Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now listen to that very carefully. That is a sure recipe to have confidence and not be ashamed in God. I didn't say that. That's what the Lord said. Do you believe the word of God? You have the potential in God, not in yourself, to not be ashamed. Here's the real question. Do you want to appear before the Lord unashamed? Do you want to appear before the Lord in confidence? When Peter said, there's a crown laid up for me. I'm sorry, when Paul said that. That was a test. You didn't correct me on that. When Paul said, there's a crown laid up for me. Do you think he wondered about that crown? And he said, but not for me only, but for all who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus. That's the only prerequisite. Do you love God? If you love God, then, Lord, You're going to seek him and you're going to ask him, how does this work? How does this salvation that you've given to me, I want to explore all of it. If you love the Lord, you want to know. If you've got an interest, you want to know. If you're real with God, if you're not playing games, you want to know. You want to know. Because it's going to benefit you, and you know that every time you seek out God in a specific truth, he blesses that. And you want more. You know, I've got a cell phone. When I came here, I had a not-so-smartphone. But since that time, I've gotten a smartphone. There are things in here I have no clue how to use. My son just got a cell phone. He was showing me things that I never dreamed this phone could do. Dad, watch this. I'm like, how do you know how to do all this? He said, because I wanted to know. Do you know what? Still, I just calling and texting. I don't even want to use the internet. You know why? Because I can't see the dumb thing on that phone. And everything, when I use my computer to look up stuff, I know exactly, it's not the same on your phone. I'm like, where's that button at? Forget it, I'll wait till I get home. I don't care about that stuff. But I do care about the one who died for me. And I do want to discover on this side of eternity all the wonderful blessings and promises that he's given to me. I have an interest in that. This cell phone, it's fine. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. Study it all you want. I want more about Jesus, amen? And what he means and what he wants to mean in my life. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now watch this. Ready? The last verse. Believing in God's anointing and what it does. If you know that he is righteous, this morning, this is a question I do want you to answer. Is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, righteous? Amen. Let's try that again. Is your Lord, Jesus Christ, righteous?
Amen.
You know that? Okay. So now, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone, how many? Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Do you know what he's saying? Please don't misunderstand this. He's not asking you to do righteous things. If you're going to do any, listen, this is still true for the believer. Even our righteousness are as filthy rags. When God looks at us, do you think he's looking at our righteousness? Do you think we got acceptance on our righteousness? We have none. The righteousness that he sees in your life and mine as a believer is his.
Amen.
You've been blood bought, covered by the blood. You belong to him if you've been purchased. And so now what am I going to do with that? Well, if it's not important to you, you're not going to do much with it. Just the truth. When I got time for it, you'll never have time for it. You'll never have time for it if it's not important to you. Isn't that the truth? Aren't there some things that you thought you'd like to do someday in life? They're not that important to you. I thought I would like to learn how to play the piano one day. Chopsticks and one other song. That's it. That's as far as I got with it. Forget about it. I'm not interested. Is it beautiful? Absolutely. Love to hear it. One of the nicest instruments, personally, just to me, is the cello. Love to hear the cello. I don't know one thing about the cello, but I love to hear it. You know why? I don't really have that big of an interest. There are some things that might need to get taken care of in your life that still haven't, don't answer this, but maybe there are some things that you're going to do one day, and that one day turned into months, and those months turned into what? But it's still there one day. Probably never do it. There was a 12-string guitar Brother Ronnie Munson gave me. And Texas is hot. It was an old guitar. And we had it somewhere, and it just started cracking and falling apart. Can I tell on you? I'll be in trouble later. She said, one day, you know what? It was a great idea. I'm going to put mosaic tiles on that and make that look, and just as an ornament. It's not playable. It was shot, but I'm going to cover up because the top of the guitar was all cracked. She was going to cover it up and just put it. She showed me. It would have been a wonderful idea. That was back in, I think, 2014. Brother Munson left Texas for Florida. I had been carrying that guitar since 2014. Schlepped it all the way up here. Stuck it in different places. Tripped over it many other times. And my wife went to go spend some time with Jessica in Florida. I decided to clean up the utility room, and there it was. I said, she is never going to do that. She is never going to do that. So you know what I did? I did not throw it away. I'm no dummy. I called her up. I said, are you ever really? I said, sweetheart, are you really ever going to do that? She goes, no, throw it away. Woo, man, I took that thing out to the trash. I called her on Tuesday. That was my trash day. I want you to know, she had one project. I had all kinds of projects out there. I said, forget about it. One day, forget about it. You know why? Because Christ is more important. You will never experience the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit unless Christ becomes preeminent. And maybe you would take time and say, God, what is in my life that I have placed before you? You're going to stand before the Lord. Is that not true? One day. How do you want to stand? Ashamed or with confidence? God says, I'm telling you what to do. Nobody else is going to know what choice you make but you and the Lord. Oh, and people will miss out on the work of God in and through your life that changes us to become like Him. But God says, I invite you today, first with a reminder, you've already been given an unction from the Holy One. You're already set apart. Amen. Here's the question. Do you want the Lord to do His work with His power in your life and mine? And if you're here and you know nothing about that because you don't have the assurance of eternal life, that's where it all begins. And God must do that work also. Not what we think. It's what He reveals to us that we need. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? It's His invitation. And once again, it's our opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne this morning, thanking You, Lord, for the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us and woos us to draw near to You, that You might do Your work and that we might be awed by Your power in our lives that You've given to us. And we don't deserve it, and yet you are pleased to glorify Yourself by Your power in and through our lives. May we be the church that You expect us to be because of the grace that You've given. And then, Lord, if there's anyone that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may You give them the Holy Spirit conviction that they might see it's You alone they need to trust for eternal life. Bless Your people, bless the invitation, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.